This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, welcome to the Gilmore T Vibe here on Clip Central. Remember, the hashtag is GTEE Vibe. And we are back this Friday. Very excited because today I have two outstanding guests in studio. One is a Mandela Washington Fellow. She's also into business. She's also into media. She's into everything. And then she laughs. And I'll allow her to introduce herself just now. And then the other gentleman is one of the top Zimbabwean designers who just recently showcased in Cape Town at the South African Menswear Week. Is it called South African Menswear Week? What is it called? South African Menswear Week, right?
Yeah,
so he showcased his collection there, and he was one of the two Zimbabwean designers that participated there. So today they're joining me in studio, and we're just going to talk about fashion and media and art and how it can give a voice to our society, and how basically we can also use that to represent things that we're passionate about in our community. So remember, this is the only show that you listen to when you want to hear anything Zimbabwean. So let's talk Zimbabwean. Welcome back. So joining me is Ruzivo. Can you tell me your last name? Because I know you with your actual surname.
Okay, so the one you're calling actual is Ewaz. My is name is Ruzivo Chonyera.
But how does that work? Because I know in the Ndebele culture, the lady doesn't lose her last name, right?
She does.
She does.
Yeah.
But then she's always called by her last name, like her family name. Like if your sister is Mangube, she's always Mangube.
Yeah.
But is that the last name or is that the totem? Because I think in the Shona context as well, if you're Madube like me, you remain Madube even though you're married to a Soko.
So it's like that, I guess, in the Ndebele and the Shona.
You only change on your, what you call it?
On your ID.
On your ID. Yeah.
But then sometimes you don't have to change.
Nowadays, I don't think you need to.
Well, you do what you want. It's not a must. And also it depends. I mean, it depends what you want. If you're one person who wants to double barrel or to just have your maiden surname, you can run with that.
Double barrel is a lot. It's like, you know, for example, my mom is called Chiramagua. So imagine if she had taken her name, she was going to be called Martha Chiramagua Moyo. I mean, that's like an entire page of an ID, if not a birth certificate, just to write that entire name. So, all right. So Ruzivo is the co-founder and project director of The Raw Consultancy, focusing on marketing, business development and event management. She has over 10 years experience in advertising, marketing, sales and event management. Ruzivo, you're also a Mandela Washington Fellow. What else did I leave out which I didn't mention?
I think that's just about the gist of it. I'm also a TV host. I do two programs in particular, pregnancy and parenting. I am not pregnant.
Okay.
But that show is currently showing on Zimbabwe TV. Uh-huh. And we're also currently working on another project. It's called Flavor Hub's Real Men Can Cook, where we're getting real men to get into the kitchen and cook.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then Nkuleko, on the other hand, you run a brand called Arakani. One of the most outstanding brands in Zimbabwe. It's like street brands, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a streetwear.
Just tell me a little bit more about it and how it started for you.
Arakani is a streetwear brand. Mostly we focus on street gothic. Uh-huh. But nowadays it's because
we're satanic.
No. We've tried to add color onto it though. Like if you see on the latest collection, it's really colorful and it's got denim on it. Yeah, so we're trying to move away from the black, because we're always in black from day one. So but it's a streetwear brand that really is about expressing yourself and being free to be who you are.
And this fits perfectly for today's topic, because we're talking about how we can express ourselves or how we can tell our stories as Zimbabweans, as Africans, through media, fashion and art. But before we go there, let's just give some highlights of what happened in Zimbabwe this past week. We just lost Morgan Tsvangirai, who was the leader or is the leader of the Movement for Democratic Change. He passed on from colonel cancer, which is really, really sad. I mean, condolences to his family and to all those that were close to him. But what is the future of Zimbabwe now? Because initially he was still going to run for president, right? If elections had happened, rather.
Yes, well, I don't know what he would have done if elections were to happen, because the MDC have had a space where they have not been clear about their mandate in Zimbabwe. You know, when Tsvangirai got sick, I would have assumed as a party they would have taken a stance of having someone else standing for the elections and starting to prepare.
Exactly.
But shockingly, Tsvangirai had to get to a point where he passed away, and sincere condolences to his family, but the MDC have been left unprepared and not ready.
So then, meaning we're going to have issues again in terms of who's going to come in, because at the moment we only have ZANU-PF standing up. I mean, literally we have ZANU-PF standing up for elections, and there's no other competent person, from my view, because initially I had not registered to actually vote, you know.
Wow.
I only registered.
Look at you.
It's like, look at you, I'm flourishing. Actually, I ended up registering just maybe a few days after Emmerson Mnangagwa went into power. You know, there's that hope, that atmosphere of hope that was there in Zimbabwe. I was like, you know what, let me just go register. It took me like 2 minutes to register. But now, there's this thing that's going on within the African continent where most of our leaders get into power or get into any position of power, and they want to die with the power. Mm-hmm. I mean, when are we going to start dealing with this? When are we going to get better at issues of power in the African continent?
Wow, I'm just a Twitter troll, guys.
But what are your thoughts?
Yo, I feel like African leaders don't really want to step down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's funny because SA was always the one that didn't have issues with this. And with Zuma in, like, that's what we saw happening with Zuma now. And it was actually funny. Mm-hmm. But at least he did step down without impeachment. So, yeah.
But then still, my question is, do we have to get to that point where people say, because initially it's the people that push in power. Mm-hmm. And when the people are saying, we're now tired of you, why do we hold on to the power? And we have to wait for someone to get into like parliament or to threaten that they will impeach you of your position?
I think with African, they are corruption. So you know that when you're stepping down before your term, we are corrupt. Everyone, African leaders are corrupt. Like everyone knows that. It's not even like a secret.
But we can't really generalize it.
No, we can actually. African leaders are corrupt. No, come on.
No. A majority of African leaders could be corrupt. But I think what we're finding right now happening in this context is that power is the one that corrupts. So once these men and women step into power and become president of a party or of a nation, they begin to think that they're the only person who can do what they're doing. They start feeling indispensable. That's exactly how Robert Mugabe felt. He felt like if he's not steering this ship will sink.
Yeah.
And I think that's how, to an extent, this is my opinion, that's how Morgan Tsvangirai was beginning to feel. He was beginning to feel like, if I leave the MDC,
exactly,
I started this thing. But yeah, look, if you start it, doesn't mean you have to finish it.
No, you don't have to.
It's a relay.
You have to pass it on.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, I thought Nelson could actually be a better president for the MDC.
Nelson Chamisa could be a better president. I am everything about the youth and them getting power, but I'm also a bit worried about. There are a lot of issues that I'm also worried about, because if he doesn't have enough grassroots support in the party itself, then us like him is not enough. Well, there's a poll that was done. I mean, it's all these polls and it's not like it's real statistics, but it showed that he didn't have enough grassroots support as Mudzuri or anyone else would have.
But is it because of his age? Because I think the other biggest issue that we have in leadership in Zimbabwe is that we sort of like don't have enough trust with someone who's like maybe 50 years going downwards. We want to put people that are 50 going up and 60 in power. So is it an issue with us as a nation? Mentally, we have to be restructured or reset, rather.
I think we have to be reset, because you will find that the people we are then allowing to make decisions for us, some of them will not be here 30 years down the line, but
they won't.
We need to be in power, we need to run, we need to make sure people like Chamisa and other young people are in office so that they make decisions that will affect them as well.
Shame.
You imagine having like a 80-year-old minister, or what do we have?
Youth, but we do have someone who's like 60 something.
No, she's
something.
Over that. I'll tell you the age in a minute.
Don't expose the age. You can't. And then she's 60 years or something. So maybe we actually have an issue in Zimbabwe as citizens. We need to deal with that ourselves. We need to reset our minds, because I think Chamisa is a possible leader for me. When I look at him and the way he speaks, the way he carries himself around, he's a possible leader. But I'm also skeptic, because you know, most of these people, you need to have your own business. I think like Ramaphosa in South Africa, he's someone who already has his own business. So chances of him looting fans, like what Zuma was doing in South Africa, are very slim.
Oh. Ah, but Zuma also had so many women.
You needed to give up. Yo.
So let's just go actually straight into the Zuma thing. Zuma just resigned as president of South Africa. And I mean, this is just a follow-up soon after what happened in Zimbabwe, where Robert Mugabe also just had to resign.
Asante sana.
So, I mean, the question still goes, I don't know which one of you is going to answer this. Rozibo, because I think you're a Mandela Washington fellow, meaning you have a strong voice. Is this the future for Africa, where when we get someone into power and we as a people have voted for them, the only way to get them out of power is for us rebelling and sort of rebelling like is the future of Africa impeaching our leaders, or rather advocating against them to step down? Is that the future for Africa right now?
I think Zimbabwe modeled an amazing thing, and I say amazing because although it was a coup that was not a coup, it was also the voice of the people coming up. Uh-huh. If I look at it correctly, it started from the voice of this flag.
Yes.
When Ivan Mawarira went out and started saying, you know, this is the Zimbabwe that I want, and people started having that, you know, that feeling that, you know, this is the Zimbabwe that we want.
Yes.
That kind of ignited the love for the nation in Zimbabwe, and it led on to where we then went with the November movement.
Yes.
and
that march was
Robert
incredible.
Mugabe.
That
march was amazing. I walked for 12 km plus.
That's, you lost so much weight. This is incredible.
I did.
It's a positive vibe, right?
It's a very positive vibe. So you see, with all of that happening in Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe starting now on a new dispensation, it has also triggered some reactions all over Africa. And what's happening with Zuma now is mainly because South Africa has two centers of power. And currently in Africa, what has been happening is one center of power. So remember, in Zimbabwe, we had to go out of the one center of power, which was Robert Mugabe, and walk as citizens. But South Africa, the ANC, and then what they do at their Congress, which is separate from government, affects this.
Exactly,
so he was pushed out by his very own party. So they were tired of him. But in Africa in general, it means that we can. When we make a decision to make a change, these two nations in Southern Africa have modeled and shown that it can be done. If a president shouldn't be there anymore, he should move. And I hope presidents out there will leave and do what they need to do in the time that they're needed.
Yeah,
and when they're not doing it well anymore, may they be honorable enough to say, guys,
I'm stepping down. But in Kenya, look at Kenya. They tried to get the guy out, but then what happened? He's still in power right now. They have two presidents now. So we still have a problem, because at the same time, I think as Africans, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a mess, because, I mean, we might say, yes, it's exciting when we actually advocate for someone to get out of power. But then what does it make of us? Because if you have failed, why can't you just step down and pass on the baton stick to the next person? Like, it's as simple as that, I think.
Okay,
or power is maybe.
But when you look at, did you watch the Zuma's press?
Yeah, I
did. Okay. Yes. His term, he has not done like his full term, right? And he said ANC didn't give him like a solid, valid reason for him to step down.
Okay.
And I don't know the reasons or whatever, but they've been wanting him to step down. But like, his term is not done, and he was not refusing
maybe
to step
tried
down
to marry one of the kids. Too many wives.
But you understand, he didn't refuse to step down, and he didn't lose any elections. He was just forced out.
So then,
it was rushed. That's what he was saying. It was rushed. Like, what was the rush for him to step down? Because he was saying he could step down like after June or something like that.
Yeah.
But they were saying like step down now.
But is it not
with no valid reason?
Maybe.
But yeah, people should let people know. Okay, this is what's happening. This is why you want him to step down.
Mm-hmm.
As much as people are excited, I feel like that issue right there.
Yeah.
We don't know what really happened for him, for them to
be a bigger issue.
Yeah,
but to come and think of it, are people celebrating? Because look, we are in South Africa, but their celebration does not echo at all the celebration that happened in Zimbabwe when Mugabe stepped down. I guess it's different when it's been 37 years.
Yeah, I think
it's
different.
It's much different. Because we're walking in these streets and
nothing is happening.
There's much euphoria. There's no, you know.
But in Zimbabwe, guys, in November, people were like.
I felt it from here.
You did?
Because I was in Joburg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Joburg and I felt it from here. Everyone was so happy. And you could see from the videos coming from Zim and Bulawayo.
Wow. I was nostalgic. Like, you didn't you want to just go home?
Dude.
Like, yeah.
I packed my bags and just sat there, like, okay, I'm leaving.
All right, so if you're listening to the Gilmore T Vibe, the hashtag is GTEE Vibe, and we are on Clip Central every Friday at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And we're broadcasting live from Johannesburg this time, so yeah, very excited. And I have a terrible cold, by the way. I got it from Cape Town. I don't know what's up with Cape Town. There was no water, the heat was there, and then I got a cold. It's everything was just mixed up. And you can follow us on Twitter at clipcentral.com and at GilmoreTEE. Where can we follow you on Twitter, Ruzibo?
You can follow me at Ruzibo _ C.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Arakan Mary?
At Unube Otungayo. Wow. And Arakan is CEO.
So we have to spell that out for our people so that they know what to say.
At U N C U B E. OTHUNGAYO. Wow, that's so long.
All right, yeah. I think you just need to chop it a little bit.
Nope, never.
You keep it like that?
Keep it like that. You can follow my brand page anyway, so it's cool.
Okay, so the brand page is at Arakani Co. So that's Arakanico.
Yeah.
Right, I know
that. Twitter, right. Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, you should start paying us for advertising yourself on our station. Let's jump to the Zimbabwe's first lady apparently resigned from parliament, and a lot of people apparently were crying. You said you saw like I haven't been around. I mean, I have been in Cape Town, moving up and about. But what happened when she resigned?
Okay, so
why did she resign, first of all?
I don't have the actual reason. I would like to assume that she resigned because she doesn't want to be another Grace.
Am I Dr. Amai?
Dr. Amai. Mm. So when the president was addressing the people in the constituency that she was MP, mm-hmm. he was saying, we've come today because we want to let you know that she won't be your MP anymore.
Uh-huh.
Choose another woman or another man to uh-huh. represent you. She will continue in the clubs that she's had running. She will continue to visit you,
uh-huh.
but she's going to focus more on being a first lady.
That's incredible.
I find that noble. I find that...
I appreciate that too.
Yeah, because there's... Look, she could still get all her MP benefits and be a first lady,
mm-hmm.
but they clearly decided that, look, she can be a first lady and not be an MP. So that was good. Mm-hmm. But in the video itself that I watched, it was a little bit hilarious. So there were so many emotions going on. There were women crying, wailing. She was crying.
Wailing.
So she was crying, and I could kind of tell this is emotional for her to also be doing this. But the women,
Was it like maybe acted out or something?
You know how when people are going for a funeral, and they're like, guys, so you know, I ate chicken and I did this and I did this. It's like, takushika, guys,
permission.
Get permission.
You know what? When you say that, there's a time when we went to. Because I'm from a Ndebele and Shona background, mm-hmm. so my mom is the Shona one. So when we went to one of our father's side of the family funeral, and then I went with my aunt, my mother's young sister. So when we're in the bus, we're all chit-chatting, and we jumped off the bus, we're all chit-chatting. We're just about maybe 500 meters away.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were talking nice with my aunt. All of a sudden, she just burst into this. And then what's happening? So it all felt acted out. And then I know it's a very typical thing to happen in Zim. Like, people be chatting and we'll be talking, but when you get to the funeral, you all start rolling on the floor and
yeah,
crying.
So there was a bit of that. Women were rolling on the floor and crying. And I don't want to take away the emotions that could have been there. This woman has been an MP in this area and has served her area for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first lady, people feeling emotional about her leaving is genuine, but the acting out of the emotions were a bit over the top for me.
I'm actually reading an article on News 24. So it says, Zimbabwean First Lady Auxillia Mnangagwa's resignation from parliament has reportedly received mixed reactions from countries opposition parties. She, Auxillia, says she could not be Amai Mnangagwa for Chirumanzi Zimbabwe, but that she should be the mother of the nation, which I think is very noble.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why she's stepping down. So she's stopping being MP from today, which was Saturday, then onwards, and she becomes the mother of the nation. She's now MP everywhere she goes. Mnangagwa was quoted as saying. So even if she goes to Chivi, or she goes to Mondoro, or she goes to Cholocho, she's now an
she's
MP.
An
there.
MP.
This is incredible. All right, let's... enough about Zim. We want to talk about what you guys are up to and what you do. Rozibo, you mentioned that you are a host on TV. You've got two TV shows that are coming up. Let's talk a little bit about how art and the creative space sort of like carries a voice for the society, let's say in Zimbabwe. How do you tell our stories in Zimbabwe with your show? And how important is it to you to tell those stories?
So for me, it's a big deal. Telling the African narrative for me is huge, because I find that out there, people misinterpret, misconstrue, and misunderstand us for so many reasons.
Yeah.
But we have a voice and we have a story. So I usually try and attempt that within the shows that I do. We bring out the human and personal element of each and every individual, and their story can lead you on to the next story.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, it's more than just, okay, let's just shoot a production and have this production. But it's us making sure that as we're doing it, we're showing that yes, we can and yes, we will in our nation. But we're also showing that yes, we have these issues, but these are the solutions that we've come up with to solve these issues. So it sounds like a fun and entertaining program, but we're also pushing on informing. I'll tell you about pregnancy and parenting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mothers do not get antenatal care in Zimbabwe. I mean, across the sectors, there are people who just choose not to, either for religious reasons, for cost reasons, or any other reason at all.
Yeah.
And when they do, they don't get the information they need. They don't have enough information. It's guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many myths and people telling each other all kinds of things. So this program is trying to kind of demystify some of those things and just make people relax. Like, it's normal. You can get pregnant and have a baby.
But we are not saying people should now start going around and having sex and just being pregnant, because Rozibo said on the Gilmore TV Vibe, it's normal, just get pregnant.
People can have sex, Gilmore, when they are married.
But even if you're not married, I think we can't run away from the fact that people want to have sex. People are having sex. But be protected. Be safe. Let's just not dip it and do it with everybody. Or in the US, zipping it and doing it. But then, I mean, I like that part. But then with young people, what's your audience like? Is it young people or is it just married people?
So it's a mixed audience on that particular one. Because sometimes we talk about issues that not necessarily, like dealing with teenagers, for example. Teenagers are also tuning in because they want to hear how we are thinking they should be addressed. And we have teenagers on the show to kind of talk to us. So this one guy says, I need my space.
Really?
I'm a shark. If you keep me in a tank, you're caging me. I need to go into the ocean and, you know, do my thing. I'm thinking, what? If my teenager would tell me that, I'd be like, what? Ocean. I'm ocean.
Oh,
but that's how our parents raised us. This fear thing should stop.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of our voice. As our voice is coming up, and just encouraging young people to step out.
Yeah, we need to.
Any arena, any way.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But do you think our society is now open to talking about sexual issues and pregnancy issues, just in general? Do families actually talk about that? Like, let's say your mom is pregnant. Did she come to you and say, oh, hi family, hi my children, I'm pregnant, your father and I were doing it like 3 months back?
Wow.
Our mothers, no,
never
say that.
Never.
So you just find out, oh, mommy is pregnant.
They bought the baby.
Oh, they bought it.
And it's not really something like when you grow up. Obviously, they will tell you, okay, we are pregnant. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they'll come up to you and say, like, so how many months ago?
No, of course, it's not that. I mean, like, who wants to hear what their parents were doing it?
But if you see your parents pregnant, it means they did it.
Yeah.
Your collection at the South Africa Men's World Week in Cape Town this past week, you were talking a lot of issues of mental health, homophobia in the black community, and ETC, the LGBTI, basically, that's what you're addressing. We spoke about how often do we talk about sexuality issues or sexual issues in our community. So why was it important for you to actually address that in your collection?
You know, like, we're Zimbabwean, obviously. So coming from Zimbabwe, it's really like, I can't say taboo, but is it illegal? Is it illegal?
Yeah, it's illegal at the moment. I mean, same-sex marriage.
It's illegal. So coming from Zimbabwe, you grew up in a community that's so homophobic. You grew up in a community that's so homophobic that it becomes your default setting.
Uh-huh.
So I remember me in Zim, I was so homophobic, like, I didn't even wanna, you
touch
know,
nobody or yeah, talk to nobody.
Talk to nobody. Yeah, but now coming to SA, staying in SA has really opened my eyes, and like, to a lot of issues. Seeing that I'm in the fashion industry and every, most people, you know,
LGBTI.
Now it's long. It's LGBTIQ plus.
What's the Q for?
Queer.
And plus?
The other things.
Okay.
So yeah, coming from Zimbabwe, so for me, it I feel like as a Zimbabwean designer, I had to talk about such issues, and so that just to bring awareness to my fellow designers in Zimbabwe, my fellow Zimbabweans, that you don't really have to judge and people and tell them not to do what and with who and whatever. And also mental illness, it's really like, you know, mentally ill people suffer from mental illness and have depression and everything. They are considered to be, what you call it,
possessed.
Yeah, with demons, utagati, and stuff like that. But like, it's really a disease, and it's something that needs to be treated. Like, you can actually get treatment, and you know, there's places you can go to for you to get help. It's not demons. It's, you can't cast them out. You can't pray stuff out, like stuff like that out. Yeah, and also I worked with a friend of mine, Kahleko Lale, and this is what she had to say. I'm going to read what she said.
Are you a poet now?
No, I'm not a poet. So we're talking about this with Kahleko, and it's a bit long, so but I'll try to read it.
It's not long.
So she was like, okay, well, firstly, it asks me how much ignorant we are when it comes to mental illness and homosexuality. However, I realize the bedrock of all is in our ignorance, is attributed to our religious indoctrinations. Almost always, mental illness and homosexuality are brutally demonized, particularly the latter. Anyone who has the mental illness and identifies as queer individual is ostracized or said to be possessed by evil spirits. So you see, in the black community, it actually is called a white man's disease. Have you heard that one?
Like, depression is real. A lot of people are suffering from depression.
That's true.
In Zimbabwe, a lot of young people. But then, because I don't know why we're not dealing with these things, because these are like the fundamental of, you know, the bigger things that we start seeing, because we would have not dealt with the fact that one is depressed and they're going through stuff. But then, how far have we gone in Zimbabwe in terms of dealing with mental health issues and depression?
I think there have been a lot of things out there. I know one of the journalists did an award-winning film on mental illness. Well, was it on mental illness or on depression? But there has been word out there. People have started talking about depression and mental health problems and how they can affect. And I think open spaces are beginning to come where people can... I think there's like a friendship bench where people can sit and discuss these things. So we're not where the first world is in terms of dealing with it, because there's still a lot of that taboo, like, give me. Pick yourself up. And I also think sometimes religion messes us up in that regard.
Yeah, it does.
So someone is depressed and they're church going, or if they're believing in something, they're still being asked, you're not praying enough.
Yes.
That's not what it is. They're going through something at this moment, and that's what you're saying is not what they're doing. It's usual. Don't push people to say, where should I deliverance? No, I don't need deliverance. I need to snap out of it, but not the way you are making me snap out of it. But I find lots of progressive doctors are beginning to talk about it. If you go to her, my symptoms are hung waiter all over the place. They're like, let's put you on Prozac. You are depressed. The step, though, is to realize that you're depressed and starting to walk that journey of healing and going back to your normal self.
So I guess that it's an individual thing. You need to realize and actually accept it. Because I feel like sometimes we don't accept that you're depressed, and then you want to act macho. Because, I mean, I'm going to come back to you. So this issue of depression and, you know, mental health issues. As a man in the African community, for example, in Zimbabwe, if you come out and say, you know, I'm depressed, or you sort of like have like this weakness, it sort of like questions your masculinity.
Masculinity.
So it questions that. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like growing up as a man, you are told to man up. You're told to men don't cry, men this and that. So I feel like you can't really come. Well, you couldn't, but you can
I
now.
I don't know what's going on. But anyway, she just hit our mic. But anyway.
So it's like you couldn't come out really and say you're depressed, like because you'd be told to man up and be a man and be strong and whatever, all those things. But actually, you do need to. Men do cry. You know,
do you
men,
cry?
I cry. You ask people who know me. Okay. I'll cry. I'll just tell you everything I'm going through and cry. And you'll be surprised and you won't know what to do.
It's okay to cry. It's okay for you to admit that you're going through stuff, and it's okay for you to actually go through that process of crying.
Mm.
And just basically, I think it starts by admitting, first of all.
And I think what affects men is that it's boys don't cry.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Say, hey, boys don't cry. When a baby is crying, Tom, don't cry. Boys don't cry. You know that? Uh-huh. Of course, boys cry. So when we're, you see, it's child development. If we're going to tell young kids that they can't cry because they're a boy, when they get to be a man and they need to express themselves, they're not gonna cry.
So that's when they become violent.
Yes, they become violent because they need to take this out. And I found also that sometimes the people you least expect to be depressed are the ones that
depressed.
Have depression. So people like you and me are always bubbly. Hey, what's up? How's it going?
But we actually go through a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I think I went through a lot of stuff in December and in January where I actually felt like everything was just so much on me. And then you realize when you send people a message, they never reach out to you because you're always the one who's there for them.
Yeah.
Yes,
but when
exactly.
you need them, they're never there.
They're like, I know there's actually, nothing wrong with you.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing wrong.
Like, I need you. Can somebody... And people won't.
They
same,
won't.
Same for me. There's a time I just felt like, is the world crashing? Or I mean, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't stand up and say, oh yeah, so this is how I'm feeling. People are like, what don't you have?
Yeah.
No, that's not what it is. Don't start counting. You are the that, and then
exactly.
you are that, and then
it's
yes.
The
but there's a time
the
when
get.
You, when
yeah.
in your head you are not settled. I mean, I'm glad I snapped out of it and I'm good. But there's a time in your head when you just need somebody to give you a hug and say, it's okay.
Or even someone to just call you and say, how are you?
Yeah.
For me, I think that's the most important thing. Just finding out how you're doing, because I feel like sometimes when someone sends you a message like, hi, so I want to go, and that's it.
Yes. Like, transactions. So I think that's what I realized. We are in a world where people are focusing on transactional relationships mm-hmm. in terms of actual real relationships mm-hmm. whereby I need to know if you're okay. Mm-hmm. Did you eat? Because mm-hmm. if you didn't eat and I ate, that's not right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need
yeah.
to know if you've got a child, I need to know if your child is okay.
Yeah, true.
I don't just want to say, hi, so this is what I need and I need it at 2 p.m. and do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
a transaction, who cares about the lady in the store they bought bread from last week?
No one cares.
No, you did your transaction and you left.
So are you saying our relationships are now transactions?
People have moved to just having transactions. That's what they're doing.
Wow, this is deep.
And we need to get back to building real relationships where we care about each other.
Uh-huh.
You
wanted to say something before
I wanted to say if you are the one who's always reaching out to people and comforting people and listening to people, people don't really know how to respond to your depression, if I can say it. Like if you're saying, if you tell them, okay, I'm going through this and this and this, they don't really know how to respond because you're always the one on the other side telling them, okay, everything's going to be all right. And all that.
No, I realize that. Actually, yeah. I realize that because people be like, really? And then they thought I was kidding. Like,
yeah.
And I tell them, I'm like, dude, like one of my friends, I sent him a message and it's like, oh, you were serious? I'm like,
I'm serious.
But then, I mean, so how then do we... sort of like touch are they look any signs per se, do we have like any signs when someone's going through things, or it's usually the happy ones that actually need more attention?
I think people who try to make sure that, oh no, have I just said that, because I'm finding that it speaks so much to someone I know. So people who always are there for other people and are constantly trying to make sure the people around them are okay
uh-huh.
are the people you need to look out to
uh-huh.
for. Because those people are doing that because they're hoping that someone will do that for them.
Mm.
So they're doing it as a seed. Not necessarily knowing what they're doing, but they're saying, I can't let this person go through this because I would need this if it was me.
Okay.
But it's actually them and they're not saying it.
Uh-huh.
So they're the life of the party. I mean, if you know people who at any party, they're the ones dancing a lot,
uh-huh.
they speak, they run around... worry about those people from time to time. I mean, it's not every time they're going to be depressed.
Yeah,
but because they have those highs where they're making sure everyone and the party is popping, the people who are usually the life of the party, when they're not in that zone, you kind of need to check on them and just find out that they're okay.
Also, I feel like most people, or people in general, have different coping mechanisms, and also they've got different ways of dealing. Because if personally, if I'm going through stuff, I just stay at home. I actually deactivate most of my social media.
I wish I could do that.
I deactivate most of my social. If you have noticed, I've deactivated Twitter for 3 months at some point, and a month. It's like I deactivate most of my social media and just keep to myself. And I actually literally stayed.
Like a dangerous space for you to be by
it
yourself.
It is actually. It is because I overthink. Because I'm on my own, I'm overthinking everything. I'm not talking to anyone, and it's really bad. But that's how I get to deal. Because if I'm around people, like, oh, I know I can't deal. So for me, I feel like we have different ways of coping. And you know, some people go through phases. I don't even know if I can say the word here. But yeah, I go through that phase.
It's on radio, so you can say whatever.
You know, some people can use sex as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, so what's wrong with
that? It's a whole phase.
Plus also when you use sex, you could make the next person get into depression. Because if you're just going to do it, okay. No, not at that moment when you're doing it. So if you're just going to do it so that you get out of it, but you're not going to be attached to this person.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have a relationship with this other person. This person is thinking, I found him. No, really? They're like so excited that they found the guy, and they're getting into this happy zone, but you just want to do
it's
it.
It's just the coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Just
so now you are creating a problem
Another
for the next
problem.
Person, because this next person is now like, he broke my heart. And you're...
I can't mention this. I have someone who just broke up with this. Okay. Anyway,
it's uncensored. It's radio. I
can't be exposing other people on radio.
No,
we can't. Like, but I know what you're talking about. Cause the girl, I think she got in very nice, you know, sex from this guy, and now she really is into this guy. But now I think she's now psycho. She's like really obsessed with this guy. So now you're creating the same. Like you're saying, you were depressed. You slept with someone, and then this person fell in love with you. You don't want to fall in love with them. You don't want that kind of a relationship. Now they are now obsessed with you. So you're creating like this.
And you're not even there. For you, it was just like. Hits go. And it's like, go. Yeah.
Yeah,
and you're not even thinking about. No, but nowadays it's not even a hit and go. But I'm like, you hit until she runs away. No more hit and goes, right? No more hit and
runs away. That's terrible.
Yo, no more hit and runs now, bro.
When you. I can't. These guys here. No.
Until she runs away. So.
Yeah.
You're currently based in South Africa, in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
What prompted the move? I mean, from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, to come to Joburg, and how has it been, basically?
Okay. Personally, I feel like Zim as a whole, not even Bulawayo only. I feel like the fashion is not really like up there. No one really cares about fashion. Like, people just want to make outfits to go to certain events, like maybe once a month or even once in 5 months. So for me,
by the way, you've gained quite some lightness on your skin. But anyway, let's go.
Is it the weather, or I'm eating
like healthy.
Him and Kanyimba,
I'm drinking my water.
I'm not. She looks white.
I saw. She looks like a chicken.
You're like, yo.
Oh, did you see Sammy Sosa? You know Sammy Sosa?
No.
From the States.
Uh-uh.
Oh, you should check out Sammy Sosa pictures now. You'll see.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
anyway.
So I feel like I felt like I wasn't really doing anything in Zim. No money was coming in. No exposure. Nothing, because no one is really interested in fashion in Zim. Well, a few people, yes, but it's not really paying. No one can really pay their bills through fashion. Yeah, for sure. Well, I couldn't.
You are the designer.
Well, I couldn't. Yeah. So I decided to move to S, and it's been great, actually. Like, people in SA are loyal to brands.
All right.
So if they like what you're doing, and the quality is good, they don't care how much they're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. They are going to pay. They won't even like try to negotiate or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in Zim, you can actually sell a $100 jacket for $20.
Because everybody's negotiating.
Because no price, and stuff like that, you see. But in SA, it's different. It's different. People actually pay for as long as they believe in your brand and they like the quality of your work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like, and there's really so much going on in fashion in SA.
It's
the market is bigger and yeah, it's very different from Zim.
So have you managed to penetrate the South African market?
Well, not really. Yes, but not really. No, but through social media, I've managed to get a lot of people coming through to purchase my stuff, and obviously doing fashion shows like SM Menswear Week has helped.
So how was brand awareness? How was the experience? This is not your first time showcasing there. You've showcased many times before.
Yeah. But like, it was okay. It was okay.
Like the way you're going, it was okay. You're not convinced.
Yeah, no, because like, I don't know. Yeah, but it was good. It was good. It was good. Everything. Yeah.
I think there's a question marks.
That you don't want to offend political connects.
No, it's important also if there's something that you feel can be improved for you to be able to say it, because I think we should not try to bootlick each other a lot. Mm-hmm. We should be very honest with each other. But maybe you are now being honest on the wrong platform.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe you might want to keep your honesty and send it by email and not expose people.
Uh-huh. Right? No, it's cool.
And okay, then I have a question, because you know that in Zimbabwe the whole same-sex marriage, same-sex relationship is really like a big issue. But mm-hmm. then your current collection was showcasing that. Don't you have like worries in terms of course you're based in South Africa where it's legalized, but then don't you have worries to an extent that it might affect your brand when you want to go back home and build your brand or whatever with the brand?
Not really, because I feel like my target market is not really those old madalas who are out there just telling people what to do and everything. I feel like it's the people my age, actually this generation of Zimbabweans, the youth, they are actually quite understanding. And they are open to changes in whatever, what you call it. Yeah. So I feel like, no, it won't really affect my brand, because my target market is open to discussions and accommodating other people, be it straight or gay or yeah. So I don't think so. And I'm not even scared. I'm not gonna censor myself because all these Zim madalas don't.
You'll be banned from Zimbabwe, my friend. Yeah.
But that's the funny thing, Gilmore, that the Zim madalas are the ones who are allegedly really gay. No, really. I said allegedly, but yeah. And you're like,
wow. Okay.
You know, when you start hearing these stories coming up, it could be, it could be false news and all of that. Yeah. But it's the same guys who are like, yeah, don't do it. It's not right. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Who, I think they, for a minute, I think they're trying to create a demand in this thing.
So that there's options.
Yeah. Because now when it's underground and then, I don't know. But I would find that it is illegal in Zimbabwe, and I would stand with that as long as I am on my soil. But people are starting to think inclusively.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not me doing it, but if it's you doing it,
it's fine.
It's your business.
Yeah.
I really think whoever you want to sleep with shouldn't be a big deal.
No, it can't.
As long as it's not like you're sleeping on top of the tree on Main Street in Harare or in Bulawayo.
Yeah, and if it's also by the not corner. Somebody who's underage. Otherwise,
yeah.
After we get to the age of consent, whoever people are sleeping with is their business.
It's their business, right?
Yeah.
And also, if I feel like, personally, I feel
never
like
knew
if
you spoke
if
this much.
I don't speak. You're making me speak.
Did you know when he started talking about sex and all of this? Yeah. He was like,
I'm here. I'm present.
Yeah.
My body is just not anything. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, if I feel like for me, if you're homophobic, mm-hmm. And you've got a problem with me doing this collection,
yeah,
I don't really care. I feel like if you're homophobic, I don't actually want you buying my clothes.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
You can keep your money.
That's it.
I don't care. So for me, it's people who are not homophobic and actually try to accommodate everyone as they are, that I want to be my customers and everything, because I don't really have time for that right now. It's 2018.
We're almost in 2019. Just 10 months.
Yo. Yeah, and we can't really have those kind of people around. Okay. Yeah.
So you're saying they're not progressive. You need progressive
people. I need progressive people. People who are open-minded and yeah.
That's interesting. I'm sure everybody in Zimbabwe is just like, what the hell happened to this guy? So please, you can fire at this guy on Twitter. He's at @ngubotungayo. You can fire, not at me, but at the station at cliffcentral.com. But as long as you're hashtag GTWE vibe on all social media platforms, we want to hear what you guys think. So what's the future for you, Ruzibo? You are a Mandela Washington Fellow. You're on TV. You are doing business. If I'm listening and I want to be able to work with you, I mean... I want to know your future, to say.
Okay, so I think for me it's huge because I've taken on a whole array of things that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing a future in more TV productions, yes, and radio things. Hey, Cliff Central, my name is Rue.
Okay.
So hello. Yeah, GT, she's here. So you know, all of that. So TV, radio, I am open to discussions on collaborations that can be done in that respect. Mm-hmm. I also MC events.
Oh yes.
So if people need
you have a good voice. It sounds way better than my fluey one, but it's fine.
Let me not comment about your voice. So yeah, the MCing as well, and our organization actually, Raw Consultancy, makes sure that we do amazing events. So if people need an event manager, if they need someone to help them with their marketing campaigns, where the people to call. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And briefly, just tell me, briefly, like in 30 seconds, your experience with the Mandela Washington Fellow, how has it been?
Oh, it's been amazing, and more so because after the fellowship in the United States, when I came back, I was elected to be the board chair of the Southern Africa Mandela Washington Fellowship.
Look at yourself.
Board.
Look at you.
Hey, Bonche.
Look at you.
So it was a huge thing because I didn't know how to be a board chair. I mean, I've been in a board, but it was a learning curve. So I'd like to believe that being in the fellowship and the doors that it has opened and the things that we're beginning to do to impact Africa, I feel like I'm making a difference in my community, in my country, and obviously, hopefully in the region, the impact will be felt as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So before we get to say goodbye to you guys, we're just going to take 5 minutes with Sugar. This is a drama series that explores on how young people from across the African continent are getting exposed to HIV and AIDS. So here is 5 minutes with Sugar.
That's how we do it down south, boy. That's what they call it down south.
Welcome to MTV Sugar Down South. This is Leo's story.
When I arrived in Zenzele, I was a shell of the man I used to be. What happened with Sophie in Lagos seemed to follow me everywhere, and I was desperate to escape it.
Welcome to my home, man.
This is really nice. To be honest, I'm just happy that I'm here, far, far away from Lagos.
Are you sure you're happy to be away from Lagos or away from Sophie?
Bro, that girl ruined my life.
You know, righteous men sometimes hurt people.
I mean, you know how it is in the heat of the moment.
Did she say no?
Yes. But you know how it is with these
girls. No, means no. You of all people should know that. I'm so disappointed at you.
I didn't rape her. We were making out and I swear I stopped when she started screaming.
Kenya, you're late.
I've been struggling to find my way around this place.
You learn. Oh, I could show you around if you're nice to me.
Zamo, you're a high school kid. Whatever you're thinking, it's not gonna work.
Whatever. There's no fish in the sea.
Leaving my past behind has brought simple joys I might never have come to experience. I mean, who knew that a 2-year-old and his teenage mother would change my life? No, actually, save my life.
Spunkster, say cheese.
Spunky.
Nice.
Come up, babe. Was Samba Sotenge ice cream. Then it'd be a crazy chillness.
Ice Funkster.
Lessons come in strange ways sometimes. Sometimes they're accompanied by pure evil.
So now it's that. It's just you and me and...
What?
Hey,
come on.
Hey, Ima. I'm tired of waiting. That's
well,
now. Man, you give it to everybody else.
Okay.
How about
okay,
me?
Okay.
No, I just want a taste.
Yeah, let me feel it too.
Come taste it.
Season.
Don't you ever come back here again, you hear me?
Msenge. Yeah, I know, it sounds like I saved the day, right? But then I messed it all up again.
Thank you. If you weren't here, you would have raped me.
You do realize that you brought this on yourself, right?
How can you say that, though?
You brought him here? What did you expect? Zamu, you're always flaunting yourself, leading guys on. This was bound to happen. You need to grow up.
In that moment, I felt justified. I mean, these are hard truths that Zamo needed to hear. But she wasn't the only one who got a lesson that day.
Walk on, stranger.
You know what? Go to hell, Wade.
What? I was the one that saved you.
Just because you saved me does not mean you can stand there and judge me, Leo. Hey, Wena.
Hey.
I don't even know who's worse, you or that animal Sizwe.
Can she see I'm trying to help her? This girl wasn't hearing it, man. She just went on and on.
What is it? Just because I've been seeing for a couple of weeks gives him the right to demand sex from me, right?
Calm down, Zamo.
Don't you dare tell me to calm down, Leo. Maybe you thought that if he kept on pushing me down that counter and forcing himself down on me, bruising me with those lips, I'd actually snap out of it and start enjoying it, right? Right! I'm so disappointed in you. You're not who I thought you were.
Huh?
Ah, go to hell.
Some things are never quite clear until they hit you. I mean, that's exactly what I did to Sophie. I was no better than that pig Sizwe. Zamo was right. And the truth hurt. It hurt a lot. But now I knew exactly what I had to do.
It's time that I know. All there is to it, I gotta be right. Now I don't know if we could no more.
I'd been avoiding Sophie for months, convinced that I was the victim. But they say, when you know better, you do better. So, here it goes.
Hi, this is Sophie. You know what to do.
This is Leo. Listen, I thought about what happened the last time between us, and I was wrong.
Facing your past head on is often the most courageous thing you can do. When you confront your demons, they can no longer control you.
It's the middle of the night and I'm still awake. Where to draw the line between now and daybreak? Cause we living in disguise, trying to shake it off. Time and time again, I've broken through so many walls. And maybe everything we said, everything we knew had changed, and now it's time to think things through. Everything we need, freeze the frame, pause the game. I'm just waiting for the right.
Welcome back. So we need to shut the show and go home.
Yay.
And also gets maybe to drink some Med Lemon. Ah. Did you hear that?
Hey. Oh. But why? Why?
On radio. Any collaborations with people that you met in the US and those that you're also meeting in the African continent through the Mandela Washington Fellow?
Certainly. My initial collaborations have actually been with fellows from Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. I've managed to work with you. I've managed to work with Phil Chard. I've managed to work with Natalie. So quite a number of the Mandela Washington Fellows that are currently there in Zimbabwe, we've managed to do some collaborations, but it's also building into the region as well. Mm. So I find that my experience in the United States, I have kept the US connections, but the instant things that happened when I came back was focusing in country, in region, and you know, in Africa. Mm. So even people from other countries were beginning to talk about what we can do together. Moyo from Botswana, all of these people. Yeah. We're beginning to kind of work on projects that are pro-Africa.
Yeah.
So for me, what it taught me is Africa can do it all by itself. Yes, yeah, we need the US, but we are a strong force all on our own. Yeah. So I am focusing on those relationships with my African counterparts. Mm. And watch the space.
Watch the space. And for me, actually, one of the most exciting things that just happened at the South African Menswear Week, where I was a speaker and also an MC, I managed to facilitate for designer. He's a Nigerian-born designer based in Austin, Texas, in the US.
Oh, good.
So I met him through the Mandela Washington Fellowship, and he showcased at the African Menswear Week this past week, League of Rebels, such an incredible designer, incredible
wow.
brand. So they just showcased, and that's a result from the fellowship.
Yeah.
Mr. Ngube Otungayo, what's the future like for Arakani?
Ah, I don't know. Yes.
I don't know. Yes.
No, but yeah. Right now in 2018, we're trying to get Arakani in stores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the main focus, just to get Arakani in stores, not just to fashion shows, because at the end of the day, we need the money.
Yeah, you need to pay
so,
bills.
So, yeah, we're trying to push ourselves and stuff. That's the main focus, getting into stores in 2018. Mm-hmm. Like,
okay.
as much as possible in and around South Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Zimbabwe, I don't know how much the demand is in Zim.
You need to talk to us because we are based in Zimbabwe, right?
Yes, we know that market.
Yeah. Yes. I know Harare, yes, is good, but I don't know about Bulawayo, but yeah.
But you know, someone tried to steal. Never mind. just talk to any of us. You heard Ruzibo, she was advertising herself to you, so she's able to assist and push. I mean, collaborations is what we need to do as Africans.
True.
Right, so where do we get a hold of you when we want to be in touch with you?
Okay, so I'm on Facebook as Ruzibo Chonyera, Instagram mm-hmm. as Ruzibo C with an underscore between the Ruzibo and the C, mm-hmm. and also Twitter as Ruzibo _ C.
Mm-hmm.
Row Consultancy is based in Milton Park, and you can hit me up on any of the social media pages, and I'll be sure to say hello.
And that was Ruzibo and Arakani.
You can follow my follow my Instagram. I'm pushing for Instagram because that's where I post most of my stuff. So it's Arakani, Arakanico. No, Ara checks.
Ara.
No zit. No zit.
Guys, it's been incredible having you on the show. Unfortunately, I have to let you go. And also, I just need to go home and get some Med Lemon, and maybe I may be better. Or Med Lemon, if you're listening, please just send some Med Lemon to me. And then I can advertise for you. So the name is Gilmore T, and you're listening to the Gilmore T Vibe. So remember, you can engage with us on our social media platforms and keep the conversation going. The hashtag is GTEE Vibe, and you can follow the station at clipcentral.com and follow me at Gilmore TEE. Until next week, please enjoy the rest of your listening, and God bless. Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.